Hello, hello. Welcome to the End Evil podcast. Evil is the destruction of freedom. Glad to see you folks. Thanks for coming back. It's been exciting in the chat recently, seeing everybody's comments. And I've got a really special episode I'm excited to share with you. You know, one of the most difficult things about being a content creator and talking about morality or natural law or freedom, finding people that want to listen, that want to hear what we have to say. And it's been quite a challenge learning all the technology around that. And learning how to be an entrepreneur is part of the path of working towards freedom. And I want to talk to you today about one of my original inspirations on this topic. One of the early podcasts I watched, it was over 8 years ago, was run by my friend Nathan Frazier. And he got me started in a lot of ways in my podcasting career by offering this service called Podcast Blast Off. And that's where my podcast has been housed. And it provided me with a website and an RSS feed. And I also got a lot of great knowledge from this gentleman. I'm going to call him Nathan Frazier. He's the marketing and advertising guru. He's a teacher. He's written books. He's an author. And welcome, Nathan. Thanks for joining me. I really appreciate you coming today. Good to have you.
Chris, thank you so much for having me on, man. I'm excited to be here.
I just saw, dude, check this out on my Facebook page. You know how it shows you like things from your past and it sort of brings them up randomly? It was 8 years ago. It was March 31st, 2018. And it was when I interviewed you on the Scritch Show, Anarchopreneur, we called that episode. So we've been friends for 8 years at least. So, you know, I'm really happy to have you here. And so you've been doing podcasting for over 8 years, right?
Oh, gosh. I was doing podcasting before podcasting was even a thing that had a name of podcasting.
Yeah. So you're someone who just has amazing advice. And okay, I wanted to start here. One of the things that you brought up way back then in Live Free FM, your podcast, was explaining to me, and this hit me like a ton of bricks, that I don't care what you're teaching or selling, or you're a salesman. You're selling yourself to the public. Even if you want to talk to people about freedom, you are a salesman. So can you just kind of start us off a little bit about the importance of sales and getting our message out there to the public online?
Yeah, I think back then the catchphrase was, whether it's a product, a service, or an activism, an idea, everybody is in sales. And whether you like to admit it or not, we're all selling all the time. Whether it's, hey, buy my product. Hey, hire me for this service. Hey, let's go here for dinner, or let's go see this movie instead of this movie, or some of the stuff that we were, hey, check out this idea, buy into this idea, buy into this worldview. Let me sell you on this belief system. We're all in sales, and some of us realize that, learn the importance of it, and try to get better at it. And most struggle because sales is slimy and nobody wants to think of themselves as a salesperson. I have no problem thinking of myself as a salesperson. I'd much rather be in sales than in coercive relationships. I'd much rather sell somebody on something, persuade, influence people, negotiate with people than force people, which is the only other alternative, or just being a Debbie doormat and letting the world walk all over you. If you want to improve other people's lives, if you believe in what it is that you have to offer, whether it's something you're exchanging for an idea that you're trying to convince people of, if you have something that you believe in that can actually help other people, learn how to sell, or just put up with the fact that you're not going to ever make a positive impact on the world.
Yeah, that was a hard pill for me to swallow. You know, before that, I kind of came from the paradigm that I didn't like sales, didn't want to be a salesman. And, you know, your advice brought me a long way. I wound up getting together with Richard Grove on his autonomy project and really working for the last all these years on trying to become an entrepreneur. Partly, mainly, because I'm trying to more align with my principles, and I want to work towards freedom, not just for myself, but for all people. And so I know freedom has been a really important topic on your shows over the years, and now you've incorporated it into sales and advertising. So maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of freedom and then how that relates to sales and advertising.
Yeah, we'll take a couple steps back. First of all, a lot of us have this idea that if we want to do something good for the world, we have to be altruistic. We got to be, what was her name? Mother Teresa. We've got to take a vow of poverty. And if we somehow make money, if we somehow do good in the evil material world of capitalism, that somehow means that we're a sellout, or that we're we hear these things like money is the root of all evil. We hear these things like power attracts the corruptible, and if anybody's successful, it's because they were exploiting other people and that's how they made it to the top. I grew up dirt poor and I was bought into a lot of those ideas. I don't really believe that now. I work with a lot of very successful people that are very big-hearted people, and the people that I work with now do a lot more to help people than and myself personally. I can do a lot more to help people than I could when I was struggling, when I was always worrying about where my next meal was coming from, when I was always worrying about where the rent was coming from. If you don't have that base level of having your own needs met, it's really hard to even think about helping other people. And that's not to say that poor people don't help people. That's not to say that poor people in the struggle can't be generous and can't help each other out. But I think that a lot of us get brainwashed into this idea that successful equals exploitive, successful equals evil. To me, the more successful I am, the more time I have to, and the more energy and the more money I have to throw at my pet projects, my passion project. And I don't even really consider it a trade-off. Where I'm at in my life right now is my work is like playing with fans. I get that I love every single day. It's very rewarding. It's financially rewarding. It's emotionally and fulfilling rewarding. And then on top of that, I'm also able to, when somebody does need something, when a friend needs something, or when there's a chance to get out and make a difference in other ways, it's a lot less stressful. It's a lot less of a burden. I don't have to choose between, do I go and do the activism today? Do I get on the podcast today? Or do I have to tell Chris, I'm sorry, I can't make it, man. And I'm stuck at my job and my boss won't let me. It's easy. Hey, Chris, when do you want to connect? Let's get on a podcast. You tell me when works for you. I'll make sure I'm there. And if I wasn't in the position I am financially, I wouldn't be able to do that. So a lot of people have these weird hangups about success, about sales, about business ownership, about financial success. And I just personally think that you can do a lot more when you have learned how important it is to take care of yourself before you spend all of your energy trying to save everybody else. There's the analogy of when I'm on the airplane and the airplane's going down, if I don't put my own oxygen mask on first, I can't save the people next to me. So I have to take care of myself first. And I think a lot of us in the activist world, we buy into this idea of like Jesus Christ syndrome. We've got to sacrifice ourselves. We got to sacrifice our own needs to save the rest of the world. The world is on the brink of being taken over by evil forces. And if I don't sacrifice myself in order to make a positive change, but really, if you don't take care of your own needs and you don't put your own – oxygen mask on first, you can't help the people around you. And so I think that that's a major mindset shift that activists in general would be better served by understanding. Successful doesn't make you evil. Financially independent doesn't make you evil. And sacrificing yourself in order to save the world doesn't make you good.
Yeah, I really agree with that. And we've done some recent episodes actually in the last few months on money on my podcast. And, you know, where I came down on it is, yeah, like the way money is owned right now, that is sort of that there is a lot of evil in that. That being said, it's what we have to trade and work with. Some of us are trying to work with the Bitcoin or trying trades with people, and that's all good. But in the meantime, if we want to talk about a message of freedom, if we want to help people have the tools for more freedom in their personal life so they can have more time to work towards activism, sometimes we got to figure out some of these brass tacks, you know, and so that means for a lot of us, well, one of the biggest ones is I think a lot of folks out there are stuck in a 9-to-5 job where that's where I was when I started listening to your show. And I wanted to work more towards freedom. And I recognized that part of that path would be, you know, the more I could take responsibility for all as many aspects of my own personal life, the more I'm in alignment with this principle of working towards freedom. And so I see entrepreneurship working in that direction as one of the big pins to knock down in terms of working towards freedom, not just for myself, but for others. Would you agree? You know that?
Yeah.
Oh, who's there? Our visitor here.
Yeah. This is my kitty Jupiter. She decided to photobomb the show. Yeah. Awesome. And, you know, I want to look at this from a little bit broader of a view. Our money system is imaginary. It's based off of debt. It's created to empower a small group of people at the expense of a very large group of the masses. I'm not ignoring that. It also makes trade incredibly convenient. It also makes the ability to set yourself free possible like no other system has in history. It's a double-edged sword. There's both aspects to it. Same thing with like the internet. The internet, social media, man, the programming that goes on in social media, the to influence elections one way or the other, the ability to censor and control and cast a spell for the masses to fall under through social media, immense. But the ability to start your own business, the ability to build your own following, the ability to connect with other people who are on the same path as you is also immense. And it's really am I going to look at social media and complain about all the things I hate about it? Or am I going to look at social media and take advantage of all the things I love about it? Am I going to look at money and complain about all the things I hate about it? Or am I going to look at our current monetary system and look at all of the advantages that are there for me? A lot of times in life, things aren't just 100% evil or 100% good. Almost everything is a mix of good and evil. And it's up to us to choose whether or not we take advantage of the good or we let ourselves be consumed with the evil, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And it's funny because you're already delving right into the next topic I was hoping to bring up. I'm really eager to get your advice or encouragement maybe, or maybe discouragement about social media. It seems to me that anyone trying to start an online business these days is, you know, hits this obstacle or this doorway, depending on how you look at it, of, oh, you have to get on social media. Would you agree, number one, that's true? And then how do we, you know, like what social medias are working best for you? Any advice you have to people about how to approach this huge monster beast of social media and getting our advertisements on there? Well, hold on. I'm not talking about paid so much as just reaching people.
I don't think you have to use social media. I have friends that are completely absent from social media that run perfectly successful businesses. So no, I don't think you have to. I prefer social media because I guess because I'm good at it. but no, I don't think you have to use social media. Some people, social media is just not for them. There's plenty of other ways. You can email market, you can paid advertise, you can do person to person sales. You could just have a good reputation. If you have like a local brick and mortar business, or if you have a business that's just done locally, you definitely don't have to do social media. But for the certain type of person, it's a very powerful tool. It's probably, for me, I've built 2-3 businesses based off of social media presence. And the one that I have that is my most recent, most current business that I built off of social media pulls in between $8,000 and $15,000 a month, which is, I mean, maybe I'm not a billionaire yet. But I live very comfortably, and the majority of it comes from social media. So I'm a big fan, but I have clients, I have partners, business partners that I work with that are completely absent from social media and do just as well, if not better. So I don't think it's a must, but for me, it's my preferred thing, using social media to create content, to build a tribe, to build a cult-like following. We'll not go too much deeper than that, but yeah, I dig it. I like social media for all of its downfalls.
It seems like you post pretty much daily on Facebook. I see your posts, just about every day on there. Is that, but those aren't usually from what I'm seeing currently. You don't use those posts so much for your marketing or advertising. What particular, do you have a particular one you'd recommend to someone? I'm sure it depends somewhat on what we're doing, right?
Yeah. So it depends on where your audience is, whatever your business is, whatever your demographic is. If you're selling, if your target market is 18 to 35 year old girls buying impulse items, TikTok is the best to build a platform. If you're selling to boomers, male and female between 35 years old and 65 years old. I guess that's not boomers. That's Gen X. That's us, but we're boomers to the younger kids. If that's who you're selling to, Facebook is probably the place to go. If you're selling to anybody from 18 to 40, 50 years old, YouTube is probably the place to go. So it just depends on who you're selling to and where they spend the most amount of time. And then also where you feel most comfortable creating content. Do you feel comfortable camera? Do you want to do 5-minute videos, or do you want to do 1-minute videos? That makes a huge difference as well. So where are you and where do you feel comfortable creating content? And hopefully there's a Venn diagram overlap there. And that's, if there is, that's where you should be creating content. That's where you should be having a presence. And you mentioned, I don't do very much selling. Most of what I do is showing, I say building a cult. Most of what I do is planting my flag on the hill. Hey, this is my value system. These are the things that I believe in. These are where I place my values. And then these are my villains. These are the people that I have picked out as, me and you both hate this person. Let's get together and throw rocks at them. And so that's what most of my social media is about, is declaring my values and saying, hey, if you agree, if this is important to you, yeah, you belong over here in this tribe. And then a little bit of, because I'm not a big fan of focusing too much energy on my villains, but a little bit of, man, those people over there, they stink. Let's go throw some rocks at them. And if you agree that they stink, man, let me throw some rocks at them for you. And just doing that. And then occasionally, one out of 10, one out of 15 posts. By the way, I'm a marketer. I'm a copywriter. Here, check out the results that I just got for a client. Man, we just launched this YouTube channel. Oh, man, we just launched this advertising campaign. Look at the results I got. But that's only one out of 10 or 15 posts. Hopefully it's about, hey, are you part of my tribe? If you are, we share these values, we share these villains, and then every once in a while, oh, check out these cool results that I got. And everybody who's part of my tribe who's looking for those same results, those results posts are when people flood my inbox and they're like, hey, let's get on a call. I'd love to hire you. I'd love to work with you. But just the results without the, hey, these are my values. This is what I stand for. This is what I stand against. Are you with me? Are you in this tribe? Do you feel the same way? Do we connect? And then once that's established, by the way, this is what I do. Check out the results. Then I don't even have to ask people. I don't even have to be like, I've only got one slot open. You better get in. Runs out. I just be like, yo, this is what we're doing. This is fun. Check this out. And I automatically have three or four people every single time within 24 hours. Yo, let me give you a bunch of money and you can come over here and do this for me.
Yeah, but you have built quite a bit of, I don't know what you could say, cult, yeah, following over the years. A lot of good posts, a lot of different methods you've tried. But one thing you're talking about now that I'm keying into, that I've shared this advice with other people, is like you taught in the beginning with the podcasting, I remember you had the secrets of podcasting, the importance of like creating the avatar for who it is you're trying to reach, your customer. And I feel like that's a really key component of what you're saying is, for me or whoever's listening, you want to get something out there. Who are you trying to reach? How do we go about sort of defining that? I know you have some good advice on that.
Yeah, a lot of that is based off of with your values. I'm a marketer. I'm a copywriter. I'm somebody that helps people set up their ads. But I don't want to work with people who just want to make money. I don't want to work with people who are douchebags, because there's a lot of, I mean, as much as I preach against the don't be an anti-money person, don't be an anti-success person, there is some truth. Some marketers are douchebags. Some business owners have no point of connection with the real world. They're completely out of touch with the real world. They're complete douchebags. Some people get rich by taking advantage and screwing over other people. I don't want to work with those kind of business owners. So a lot of it is, hey, these are the things that I believe make you a good person. These are the things that I believe lead to a good life. Some of it is financial success. A lot of it is based off of being just a decent human being, being somebody who is in control of your own emotions, I don't want to work with a raging ass. Am I allowed to say asshole on the show?
Oh yeah. You say whatever you please.
Work with a raging asshole who has no control over his emotions. And I've worked with people like that before. I don't want to. So a lot of my content is based off of, these are the type. Yes, I do marketing. Yes, I can help you make more money, but I only work with certain types of people. These people that have these values, people who value freedom, people who value personal responsibility, people who are into a little bit of the woo, into a little bit of the mystic side of reality. I want to work with those type of people because they resonate with me and they tend to be, in my opinion, better people to work with. And so you mentioned coming up with your avatar. My avatar is, I want to work with something they believe in because they believe in it. People who are selling something that has the potential to scale. And then on a personal level, people who are into personal development, people who are into making themselves a better person, and people who are into a little bit of some of the more esoteric stuff. So we can have an interesting conversation outside of business. Maybe we can have a conversation about, where does consciousness come from? What is the soul? What are... what can you do in your own life to start having subtle effects on the reality around you? Those are things that I dig talking about, especially with successful people. I want to get their insights. What do you think about the way that you think that led you to be so successful? I have those kind of conversations. I have deliberately picked out the type of people I want to work with, and then I make content that will attract them and content that will push away people who aren't them. And it's important when you go into business, when you start selling something, to know, who is it that I want to sell to? Who is it that I want to deal with? When you make a sale, you've created a relationship with somebody. And when you make a bunch of sales to the same type of people, you've created a big relationship with a certain type of person. And what type of person do you want that to be? Get clear on that. And then when you go to create content, that's one of the things that I always ask myself, is this going to attract the type of people that I want to work with? Is this going to attract the type of people that I don't want to work with? Okay, don't hit post.
Yeah, I can remember you sharing one time when that kind of went the wrong way and you were kind of talking about legal stuff, right? Going through... And then all these people were hitting you up, help me with my legal problems. And you're like, what did I get myself into? You're like, you got to be careful what you advertise. But I really appreciate that, you know, for years, you've always come from that point of view of of helping people. You're very generous, you know, like you have a generous kind of attitude you put out there. And I think people appreciate that. And that probably brings in more followers and interest, I would assume. You certainly got me interested with that kind of down to earth kind of personality that you share. So yeah, I really appreciate that. But I was kind of thinking back to like you were, when I first started listening to your show, you were decorating cakes part time. And I think you enjoyed that from what I could tell, but you were also super eager to get on to kind of like controlling all your time and not having to work for a specific place or store. And for me, that transition has not been easy. And I've been battling it for years now, trying to work for myself. And so I'd be curious to see, you know, how that struggle went for you and what advice you'd give to me and other people on making that transition.
Okay. So here's my little secret. If much money decorating cakes as I make writing sales copy and building sales funnels, I probably would go back to decorating cakes full time. I loved it. It was, man, it was the funnest job I ever had. It was, it's being paid to decorate all day. For me, I'm a creative person. I like to draw. I like to color. Being able to just sit and decorate cakes and then have people show up and pick up their wedding cake and be like, oh my God, this is the best day of my life. And this just made it better. Or kids showing up and seeing their birthday cake and it's exactly what they were wanting. And a big smile on their, like, that hands down the funnest, some of the most fulfilling work that I ever did. So I probably have a slightly different point of view. Also for me, all of my work has always been about, instead of, can this make me a bunch of money? Can this help me pay? It's always been about, do I find this fulfilling? Can I wake up every day and be happy about doing this? And decorating cakes, 100% yes. It was fun. It's flat out. It's fun work. Getting up and building marketing funnels, getting up and doing consultation calls, getting up and helping people set up their YouTube videos. Also very fun, very fulfilling. It allows me to scratch my creative itch. So from where I'm coming from, either one, I much prefer the money that I make in marketing, but either one was a blast. And I think that is important. Successful is waking up each morning and being happy and grateful and excited about the work is way more important than waking up and being like, man, I get paid so much money for doing this, whatever. So I kind of have a different mindset about work and money than a lot of people do, I think. I have a different priority set on it. So it's hard for me to give advice on that, other than if you're trying to make the shift from working for somebody else, and I'll be honest, entrepreneurship, owning your own business, it's not for the vast majority of people. It's better for them just to have someone else tell them what to do and cut them a paycheck. Starting your own business, learning how to find clients, learning how to find customers, learning how to message properly, and then learning how to do bookkeeping and learning how to make sure that your website doesn't get attacked, and learn that there's a lot more to it than just doing that one thing that you want to do. And for a lot of people, like I said, if I could just go back to cake decorating, somebody else could own the business. I just get to decorate the cakes and hand them out to people. It's very tempting. If somebody said, hey, we'll pay you as much as you get paid now, but you just got to make cakes all day. Peace out, entrepreneurship. I'm going back to cake decorating. And that's just being honest. Owning a business is not just doing the thing. Owning a business is making sure that inventory is done, making sure that cost of goods is covered, making sure that advertising is working properly, making sure that a big thing is making sure that person A on the team who's got this personality trait that makes them a little bit hard to work with is getting along with person B on the team, who we need both of them, and they both kind of have these little abrasive things about them that may, I mean, there's a lot more to running a business than just doing the thing. That said, if you can find overlap between the thing that you really love doing, a need, and the people who have that need that can also pay you comfortably to do the thing that you want to do, it's kind of like the three circle overlap, so the Venn diagram, but with three circles, and you get that, what is it, the Trinity?
Where trifecta. Like
yeah. And you can find that intersection where I've got the circle of this is what I love doing. I've got the circle of people need this done. And then I found inside of there the people who are willing to pay enough to have me do it and keep me financially successful. If you can find that overlap of those three circles, then it all becomes about, do I do it well? Do I do it good enough to just, or even better, to justify my prices? And do I know how to connect with the top people that need this done? Do I know what message they need to hear in order to make sure that they hire me rather than the next guy? So it's those three things: finding the lap of something I love doing, something that the market has a desire for. The market is saying, hey, we need this done. And then inside of those people that are saying, hey, we need this done, there's 20% of them that are more than happy to pay you enough to keep you well fed, and finding those 20% and the message that connects with them and getting them and getting their attention and convincing them that you're the person to provide that need for them.
Well, I like that diagram. It's inspired me to make a graphic for that. I'm sure others have, but that's a really concise description. I really appreciate that. I'm going to have to take some notes after when I'm listening to this recording again.
Okay. I'm going to add one more thing to that.
Let's hear it.
You got those three things. This thing that holds most is not believing that they deserve to work for that top 20%. I'm great at what I do, but if the top 20% hires me, they're going to realize I'm not as good as the competition. They're going to realize that I've got imposter syndrome and I'm actually just a fraud. They're going to realize that they probably should have hired company ABC instead of company me. That right there is, and this is not comfortable, and it might feel like a personal attack to some of the listeners, but very often, almost all the time, you've got the thing that you love doing. There's people out there that want to pay. There's 20% in that group of people that are willing to pay you a lot of money to do it. If you don't believe you deserve that money, if you don't believe that you're the best person for them, you won't go out there. You won't try and sell yourself. You won't do the things that are necessary. You won't create at a business cards. You won't go out and do the networking because you're afraid people are going to find out. You're afraid that you're not going to be able to deliver. You're afraid of all of these self-worth things. So even if you've got that overlap of that three-circle Venn diagram, the secret ingredient is the faith in yourself. And until you have that, it's going to be a struggle. Once you have that, everything changes, the way people interact with you. So, say you're a roofer. You love being out in the sun. You love slapping a roof together. You love working with shingles and tiles and whatever. There's a lot of people who want it. There's a couple of people in town who have multi-million dollar houses, and they're willing to pay a premium. But if you're like, I'm an okay roofer, you're never going to go after those people that are willing to pay you what you're worth. If you're telling yourself, I'm an okay roofer, but Joe's Roofing, they're really better than me. Joe's got a better personality than me. Joe's got a better truck than me. Joe's got 4 more years experience than me. If you're telling yourself all of these stories and you meet somebody coincidentally and they're like, dude, I got this $5 million house. I really need a roofer. But you've got all these stories about how Joe's better. You're going to be like, dude, I know this guy, Joe. Let me put you in contact with him. But same situation, and you believe in yourself, and that same person says, man, I got this multi-million dollar house. I've got some leaks in the roof. I'm looking for a roofer. If you got the belief in yourself, you're going to be like, dude, let's get together. Let me come over this weekend. I'll check it out. I bet you I can fix it for you. So the secret ingredient is belief in yourself.
Yeah. And that's a tricky one, especially for many of us that have had confidence issues over the years. I personally have struggled with that. And that for me, I was going to bring up next, right before you said it, mindset. You know, like the psychological things that we run into are definitely our biggest obstacle. And looking back, the things that I thought would be really hard for me, they were really hard for me because I thought they're going to be really hard for me. And I can see in many ways how my mindset has changed over the last few years that opens more doors for me. And I'm not saying I got it solved by any means, but like that has been a huge change. So I know a lot of your study has been, I know you spent quite a bit of time like reading books about marketing, like about advertising. And I can kind of even remember some of your podcasts when you didn't quite have the confidence you do now about copywriting, and you built that up. And so I guess where I'm trying to go next with the conversation and to offer to the listener is, okay, like me, someone out there listening, they're struggling with their confidence. I'm sure they've been through difficult life struggles like you had growing up poor, being homeless, having someone telling them you're no good, you know, the government smashing its big boot down their neck. And they're just really struggling to find that inner confidence. And so it has to be kind of built up, you know, like, how do we do that? Affirmations, how do we prove it to ourselves? How do we change our mindset and our psychology?
The two key things for me, number one is attention. Where do you place your attention? All of us have things where we tried and we failed. All of us have things where we tried and we succeeded. And a lot of those failures, we learned something, and the next time we tried, we applied what we learned, and then we succeeded. And when we go into any particular new experience, we get to choose. Am I going to focus on the times that I failed and felt like a miserable failure? Or am I going to focus my attention on those key times where I succeeded and I surprised myself and I surprised all the people around me? And I'm going to walk into this experience and I get to frame how I walk into it. I get to evoke a specific type of energy that I walk into this with. I get to charge this situation with either the energy of all the or the energy of all the lessons or the energy of all the successes. And so when I went to something scary, is right before I go into it, instead of thinking about how scary this is, I think about all the scary stuff that I've done and I've overcome. got up on stage and overcame my stage fright. The time that I got in front of a group of people and was able to work the audience. The time that I got on the podcast for my first time and I was scared. I was terrified. And the host was super cool and he walked me through it and ended up creating an amazing piece of content with the guy. The time when I had no idea how this video was going to perform or this ad set was going to perform, and I hit publish and I went live with it anyways. And yeah, maybe only one out of eight of my ads really knocks it out of the park, but that one out of eight made the difference for this business owner. And so when I go into the next potential business owner, I go in there with the attention, the focus on the successes. That's one part of it, is learning to go into it and learning how to charge that situation, learning how to key to focus in on that key energy that you want to bring into it with you, because people can read that, people can feel that. And you also, again, if you don't believe in yourself, you're going to be like, let me tell you about Joe. He does great roofing halfway through the interview, where this guy's like, dude, can I hand you my money? And you're like, let me get you Joe's phone number real quick. He's great at roofing. That's part of it. Channeling, focusing, charging the situation with the intent that you want to go into it with. The next one is always be stepping outside of your comfort zone. If you get stuck in your comfort zone, okay, this is where I'm comfortable at, you're never going to grow. You're never going to expand. You're never going to get past. And every time that you just kind of take a tiptoe outside of your comfort zone, your comfort zone grows. Okay, I do roofing gigs for people that have $400,000 houses. You know what? This guy has a $500,000 house. I'm not sure that I'm the right person for him, but I'm going to take it on. It's not a big, scary, intimidating. It's outside of my comfort zone. It's only about a foot outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to take on this $500,000 house. You do it. You're like, dude, I did it. I was able to do it. I stepped outside of my comfort zone. The world didn't blow up. The asteroid didn't hit. Everything was fine. Next time I'm going to try a $600,000 house. And each time you step outside of your comfort zone grows and your ability grows. And so those are the two things: going into the situation with the correct emotional charge, the correct intent of focus, and then constantly be stepping outside of your comfort zone. And that's just, I don't think there's any other way to really grow as a person and to grow as an entrepreneur other than to do it that way.
That's the magical elixir. Yeah. Maybe, that'd be kind of a fun segue, to get to this part of the podcast to talk about some of that. I know you're getting ready to publish a new podcast, Success Magica. And I know you like to talk a little bit about the world of the esoteric and magic. And so I think at this point that ties in really well, because, it's a leap of faith sometimes that we have to take. And then we're in this world that's tyrannical in many ways. And if there feels like there's obstacles all around. And so somehow we have to culture and create this magic inside of ourselves to build this passion, to get out there and do stuff like that. That is something that you, portray in the way you do things. So I'd love to hear a little bit about how you define magic and how we can become magical beings that create things.
Okay. I think we're all already magical beings and we're already creating things. And in my opinion, everybody's a magician. Everybody has the ability to tap into. And when I say magic, what I'm talking about is, I don't know what this is, this reality. I don't quite know what it is. I don't believe it's just the material base world that science has proven it to be. There's more to it going on. You think of somebody and you haven't thought of them in years, and all of a sudden they hit you up on Facebook. You think of somebody you haven't thought of years, and then you run into them that same day in the grocery store. Your phone rings, and before it even rings, you're reaching to call somebody, and as soon as you touch the phone starts ringing, and it's the person that you are about to call. There's something else going on than just the material world. Also, people who focus on their curses, people who focus on negativity, people who go into a situation stuck, I'm not going to have fun, they're not going to choose me, this is going to blow, the last time I did this, this sucked. They go into that situation and they're right. I think it was maybe Henry Ford who said, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right. And the fact of the matter is, people who walk around with a negative mindset, they suck negativity towards them. People who walk around with a positive mindset, they pull in positive experiences. They pull in positive people. We're all doing whatever it is or how it works. But the fact of the matter is that what you place your focus on and what you convince yourself of, the universe is happy to hand it to you. If you walk around with an attitude that shit is going to suck, your life's going to suck and the universe is just going to keep throwing hardships at you. If you walk around with the mindset of gratitude, one of the things that I do every single morning is I wake up and I spend, while my brain is still in the mode in between sleep and awake, which is a magical moment. I don't quite understand it, but while I'm in that mode, first five minutes or so, I make it to feel good, to feel grateful, to pet my cat and feel how much love I have with this other creature, to think about my daughter, to think about all the experiences I have, to think about the clients that I love working with. First thing in the morning, the rudder of the day, first thing I do is I focus my mind on all of the things that I have to be grateful for, and I allow that feeling of those tingles of gratitude and happiness, that tingle that you get when you're really, really happy. I allow that to go through my whole body and I feel that as the start of my day. And then I get up and no matter what gets thrown at me, I have that rudder of my day. And usually when I do that in the morning, the rest of the day is that. It's the universe saying, you chose. You woke up and you chose gratitude. I'm going to give you more stuff to be grateful for. And when I wake up and I stub my toe and I say, oh, God damn it, I'm late for work and I'm so stressed out and taxes are due and I got to worry about this and I got to worry about this. When I wake up in that mode, the whole rest of the day is traffic and people cutting me off and the girl making my coffee at Starbucks with the wrong amount of shots of espresso in it and somebody looking at me and giving me a dirty look and somebody closing the door in my face. And again, I don't know. I just have my anecdotal experience and the experience of all the people I watch around me. But whatever you give your focus to, whatever you give your faith to, and then just a tiny bit of action, the universe is more than happy to reciprocate that energy and send that exact same type of energy back to you. And it's, I can't explain it as being anything other than magic. There's no explanation as to why when I think of Cindy calls me and I haven't heard it from her in 15 years, when I believe that this meeting is going to go great, the meeting goes great. When I'm walking into the meeting, we talked earlier about charging that intent, walking into it with the right energy, bringing that energy in has power over and influences everybody else in the room who doesn't understand how much energy influences. You can walk into a room with a bad, especially if you have a powerful personality, you can walk into a room with bad energy and everybody in that room feels it. You can walk into a room with great energy and everybody in the room feels it. And you can change an entire group, an entire room of people just by consciously choosing which energy you walk into that room with. And it's not a physical thing. It's something that can be under a microscope. It's not something that can be cataloged and quantified. It's energy. It's something else. And it's a communication that we have with whatever this is, whatever this thing that we call reality is. There's a direct communication. It talks to us. It sends messages to us and we send messages back to it. We can get downloads of, and I hate to use the word downloads, but we can have inspiration where out of nowhere, the thought just hits us and we're like, where did that come from? That didn't come from my brain. I wasn't even thinking about it. It just, bam, was there. And so many times that I can't deny it anymore, you can wake up and you can say, listen, if this happens, And 15 minutes later, 2 days later, sometimes 2 years later, all of a sudden you realize, holy crap, that thing that I thought of 2 years ago, or holy crap, that thing that I said this morning when I woke up that would really be awesome if it happened, out of nowhere, it just fell into my lap. I don't know what it is. I call it magic. There's no other explanation that does justice to whatever the phenomena is. But yeah, I'm a believer in it. And I talk about it a lot because I like to work with people who also believe in it. And almost every single very, very successful person that I've worked with, 6, 7, 8 figure earners, with the exception of one, and I've probably had close to 40 clients over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, with the exception of one who is a very, very staunch atheist, every single other person that I've worked with is like, yeah, dude, we believe in, we don't know what it is, but there's something to mindset changes reality.
Yeah, I remember our last conversation, we definitely touched on synchronicities. And I had some pretty incredible synchronicity actually in this communication with you, where I had like put a note in my calendar to contact Nathan, and you contacted me like a day or two before that calendar note popped off. And I was like, whoa, that's trippy, man. But, you know, not that surprising. I've been through a lot of stuff like that. And I totally agree with you. Like this, like we talk about, the mindset is super important. And the attitude we put out there, I've talked about this with other guys on a job site, construction job site. You get the new guy coming in, and everybody's kind of checking out the new guy, you know. You could tell by the way this guy walks what his attitude is. You know, a guy that wants to work and is eager, he's like almost running from thing to thing. Where a guy that shows up with a drug problem or whatever is kind of like, whatever, I got to do this, you know, like, you could tell in the mannerisms and the way someone carries themselves. So like you're saying, imagine we're trying to sell ourselves, or we're trying to sell an idea to someone, and we're coming across super negative. And so, yeah, I love what you were saying there, but let's juxtapose that with, okay. A lot of the people that I talk to in the community with natural law and people working towards freedom, there's a lot of cynicism. There's a lot of negativity because, well, I mean, I think you know this as well as I do. There are a lot of big problems in this world with tyranny, with government, with militaries, where people are just, like you're saying, forcing their, telling you this is how you have to do things. And many of us have come to recognize that this is a huge problem. And it's not just a huge problem. It's way bigger because it seems like 90-something% of the population don't really recognize the problem. You know, they think, oh, we're completely free. And we're like, no, you're still slaves. You know, we're still in a big problem here with human slavery and human freedom. It hasn't completely been worked out. You know, we got a long ways to go, actually. So I guess what I'm pointing at is, how do we deal with this kind of bigger mindset problem? And you know, here, one other thing to throw into this, sorry, I'm making my question too complicated. The secret stuff, like the new agey kind of manifestation thing, like all you have to do is think about it and believe it, and you're going to make it real. It goes too far too. And everything real in life requires a level of sacrifice. So I'd like you to expand on that.
Okay. So I'm probably going to say some stuff that won't resonate with you right now.
Okay.
But probably will resonate with you 4 or 5 years from now. I feel like spending too much time worrying about what the Illuminati is doing, spending too much time worrying about the World Economic Forum, spending too much time worrying about the chemtrails or the satanic occult symbolism in last night's Grammy Awards. I feel like that is a form of slavery. I feel like that is just another level of keeping you stuck in their reality. And that's not to say that I think we should put our heads in the sand, but I feel like we have the choice we can get up and we can go to work at the giant corporation that we hate our boss, and our boss is part of some secret cabal to oppress all the workers, and our boss is evil and he's taking our money that should have gone to our bonuses, and he just went out and bought himself a new car, and he's a douchebag, and he's Sally from HR, and look at all this corruption that's in the workplace. You can rant and rail and try to wake all the workers up. Man, if we could just all unite, and if I could get all the workers to realize how corrupt the boss is, we could really make some change here at Corporation XYZ. Or you can just say, you know what? I'm going to go start my own business. I'm not going to worry about what the boss is doing. It's not my job to change Corporation XYZ. Corporation XYZ has been here for 8 millennia. It's going to keep being here. And I can stay, you know, I think that I'm trying not to, don't take this as me talking down to you, Chris, or anybody listening to this right now. That mentality is, we're going out to play a game of football, and the referees are in bed with the other team's coach, and they've been paid off, and look at, they're calling flags on us, but they're not calling flags on the other team for the same thing. It's obviously they've got the home team advantage on their side. This is so unfair. If I could just get all of our football team to revolt, that would be great. And then we've got the coach, Alex Jones, or whatever political person that you go to get your insights about what's going on in the world. And he's also telling you, look at how unfair, look at the secret handshake that this coach gave to this referee. Obviously they're in on it together. Look at the way that they did this, and look at the way that they did that. And that's your halftime prep talk. You're going to lose. You're going out onto the field. You're going to play the second half of the game, and you're going to lose. But you have the choice to say, you know what? I'm going to go play a different football game. I'm going to be aware of how corrupt this is, and I'm going to give it the appropriate attention that it deserves. But bro, I could go play football over on that field, or I could go play football over on that field, or I could go play baseball instead of football and leave all of the shenanigans behind. You keep doing your thing. I can either be emotionally invested in it, and I can let your plans dictate my emotional state and dictate where I go in life. I could put all of my, again, this is about attention, man. I can give all of my attention to your plans. I'm super not happy with them. I'm super against what your plan is. I've got so much attention. I can give all of my attention to fighting your plan, which is really just giving my attention to your plan. Or I can give my attention to my own plan. I can go start my own business. I can go build my own thing. And yes, they own the whole world. And yes, they own all the land. And yes, every inch of everything. But I get to choose how much of my attention do I give to that versus how much of my attention do I give to building the world I want. Do I spend all of my attention fighting against their plan? Or do I allocate the appropriate amount of attention to that and spend the rest of it the world that I want to live in?
Yeah, that, you know, there's nothing you said there that really I don't find objectionable. In fact, going back to when I started the End Evil podcast, I was a lot more back in those days trying to talk about whether manipulation or really trying to sell people on the idea of the importance of working towards freedom. And I've kind of come around to realizing over the years, especially with a lot of dead end conversations with people, that no one likes to feel like they're being sold something. No one likes to feel like they're being talked down to. And so that's why I kind of like these days, I do a lot more offering advice and encouragement for people on their own path. Like you're saying, build what it is you see out there in the world that needs to be built. Don't ignore the problem, but rather than focusing on it and giving them your energy, focus on what you're going to do to constructively build a bridge towards what would be better. Right? Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, I like to think of it as your reality is a garden that starts in your mind. The soil, the nutrients, the plot of land is in your mind. And then what grows out of that plot is based off of what you give water and nutrients to. And we have roses in the garden, or we have fruits and vegetables in the garden, and we also have weeds. And if you just ignore the weeds, they'll take over. I don't think that we should just ignore the weeds. But if we spend all of our time focused, all of our attention focused on the weeds, pouring our water on the weeds, pouring our nutrients on the weeds, everything else in the garden dies. And that's why so many people that are political activists, so many people that are fighting against whatever systemic problems are out there, they're miserable. They attract miserable people. Their lives, they end up being a victim of the thing that they're fighting against. It's the thing that there becomes their entire identity. And there's no chance for the fruits and vegetables. There's no chance for the roses to grow because they're giving all of their nutrient, all of their water to the weeds. I'm a big fan of, be honest, hey, there's some weeds over there. We should probably pay attention to those weeds. We should probably be aware that those weeds are kind of encroaching in on, maybe take some action to stop the weeds. But we've got this whole bed of fruits and vegetables and beautiful roses. Let's not give the energy that we, the nutrients, the water, the love and care that we could be giving to the things we want to grow in our garden. Let's not deprive them because we're so worried about the weeds. Yes, the weeds are there. Yes, they need to be plucked. Let's not pour water. Let's not put all of our energy, all of our identity into obsessing about the weeds. Most people go through life pretending like the weeds aren't there. A lot of us take the exact opposite polar. Everything becomes about the weeds. Everything becomes about the Illuminati symbolism. Everything becomes about the oppressive plans of Agenda 24, or everything becomes about that. And we end up with a garden that there's no flowers. There's no fruits. There's no vegetables, because all we did was pour all of our energy, all of our emotions, all of our water and our nutrients onto feeding those weeds. So that's why I say, be very careful. We get this crazy, beautiful experience, man. Life itself is the most precious gift that you could ever be given. Go outside, breathe in the fresh air, fall in love. Think of the things that make you happy, a cool breeze on your neck that sends tingles down your back, eating some food that's just delicious and savor every minute of it, connection, being able to have these conversations, being able to connect with your significant other, bringing children into the world, all of these things. We have all of these blessings. And then there's also some downsides to it. There's people that are corrupt. There's people that are into trafficking. How much we can say on the show, but there's people that are doing some pretty foul stuff, and that's also part of this experience. But overall, man, this is amazing. This is such a gift. And when you think about it, when you hand somebody a gift, and yeah, there's a couple of flaws, but overall, it's this crazy, beautiful gift that you put a lot of work into delivering to somebody you really cared about. And immediately they start looking for the flaws, and they start ignoring all of the great stuff, all of the hard work that you put into it. And immediately they say, oh yeah, but look over here. There's a little dent over here, and there's a little scratch over here. And look at this part. This part doesn't work right. I'm not giving you more gifts. If that's how you treat the gifts that I give you, and that's how most activists, most people that are into some of the stuff that we've talked about, that's how they treat the gift of life. They immediately start looking for the flaws. They ignore all of the beauty that life has to offer, and they look for the nicks. They look for the scratches. They look for the part of the gift that's not good enough. And that, to me, that's not the way I don't believe in that. And it makes me sad. It feels like if I gave somebody a gift as precious as life, and all they did was spend the majority of it looking for the things they didn't like about it, looking for the nicks, the scratches, the flaws, I wouldn't want to give them.
Wow. That was very filled with passion and purpose right there. Those are a couple of my favorite words. And I love that metaphor of the garden. And that's what we talk a lot about on the show, is doing that inner work. You know, I was thinking about the movie with now I'm going to blank out on the name. In the end, the inside of the Bible is the, he opens it up and it has the chisel that he used to get out of jail. The Shawshank Redemption is the movie, you know, and it's like the answer lies within, you know, and that's it. You know, the answer lies within each and every one of us. And we have to find a way to get that fire, that passion burning. And I would say for me personally, just to kind of complement what you're saying, some of that stuff that we know about, like the trafficking and that type of stuff going on in the world, I use that as fuel, you know, because I feel passionate about doing something that I know is good, not because I'm getting so many views or not because my podcast is reaching so many people, but because I feel good about doing it. And it makes me feel like I'm not just letting all these terrible things happen without saying something publicly. And so, you know, I think for everybody, that's going to be a little different, is finding how to light that passion within yourself. But a lot of times, you know, coming out of a bad situation in your life and seeing how terrible things were can be the exact motivation and fire to light you in the direction, so you feel really good about what you're doing now and going forward. So that was beautiful. Thanks, Nathan.
I want to make a point too. What you just described is almost the opposite of what I was criticizing. Somebody hands you a gift. It's beautiful. And there's a little scratch on it. You said, hey, let me look at this scratch and let me polish it. Let me add some finish to it. Let me stain it to match the rest of the wood. That's different than just picking up and focusing and saying, man, this gift sucks because look at this scratch. Those are two completely different things. And I think that what you said is the most appropriate. Don't ignore the scratch. Don't pretend like it's not there. But don't also pretend like the whole rest of the gift is now worthless and has no value. Understand, hey, I can buff this, I can stain it, I can go back to appreciating this awesome gift that God, Source, the universe has bestowed upon us.
Fantastic. Well, I know, Nathan, that you have lent me this precious time of yours, and I really appreciate it. Just want to give you a minute or two if you got anything you want to shout out to folks, and then we'll close it up.
So the two things that I'll plug, if you're a business owner and you liked the personality that came through on this interview and maybe you want to talk about working together, advertisingcheatcodes.com is the best place to find me and find out more about our advertising alchemist as well. And if you're not a business owner, but you still liked the stuff that you heard and you want to kind of delve more into the more woo aspect of the stuff that we talked about, using mindset, using magic to build the life that at the end of the day, you go to bed feeling happy, you go to bed feeling good about yourself, you go to bed feeling like you're in control, you're the creator of your experience. Success Magica, and that's MAGICKA, successmagica.com is the best place to find me for that type of stuff. So advertisingcheatcodes.com, successmagica.com, or you can just find me on Facebook. That's where I spend most of my time hanging out, and just look up Nathan Frazier. And I'm sure you'll probably have a link to any of those in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll make sure and add those links. And yeah, I really appreciate everything you've shared today. It was inspiring for me and motivating for me. And I know it will be for whatever listeners check in. So much appreciated, Nathan. And you know, they can find your cheat code stuff on Amazon too. I just noticed that earlier today. So
yep, all of my books are available.
Better all of my books are available. Right?
Either way, you can get them for free at the website. You can give me some money if you go to Amazon.
There you go. Yeah, go to the website, get on his email list, because then there's going to be future opportunities. So that'd be the way.
There you go.
And all right, much love. Chris, thanks, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, great show. All right.